Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
We go ahead.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
The head coach of Phoenix. No handshake at midcourt. He walks off the floor with 5 seconds left.
Well, he's not happy with.
Bulls win. Yep. Bulls win.
I think that's hysterical.
Well, but
he wasn't pleased with it. He walked off the court. Jim Boylan, that's twice in three games that he's had problems with the opposing coach.
You don't want to rankle your opponent.
No.
You want to show respect for the teams and the coaches that you play against. At the same time, if he hadn't done this a night earlier when you're getting your doors blown off against the Kings, it would have maybe stood out a little bit more. But however unorthodox this is in his approach, it is a consistent approach. And whether it's with players, whether it's with the opposing coaches now, Jim Boylan is the bull in the NBA China shop, all right? And it doesn't matter what else happens or who else is there. That is who he is. Take it or leave it.
Mully and Hall.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Dustin, isn't tonight This Is Us night?
But yes, I am watching. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to have a couple shows you watch with your wife. I can't watch sports all the time.
Are you happy with This Is Us this season?
I like A Million Little Things right now better than
This really?
Is Us. Yeah.
Is that good?
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
This is what it's really about. It's about whether you can stand a show or two that you have to watch in order to watch sports 24/7.
I watched the Bulls and the Blackhawks on my phone while my wife is watching another show. You can watch the show and you can watch the game and pay attention to the game, and then I'll react to something like, why are you tearing up? Well, that's a great save.
Mully and Hall.
Bulls win. Yep. Bulls win.
They're ruining the game.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah, and the big story today somehow is Fred Hoiberg getting the Nebraska job.
Well, I don't know if it's a big story.
Okay, good.
It's a story.
I don't think it is.
Your reaction to it was big.
You know what? You don't understand why when I hear Fred Hoiberg, I go, ugh. And I listen, there have been many worse coaches than Fred who've been through town. I'm not saying he's the worst coach I've ever seen. The problem I had with the Fred era was to coax him out of Iowa State, to get him to leave Ames, Iowa, they had to pay him $25 million in guaranteed money, a five-year, $25 million deal. To whom much is given, much is expected. The expectation created by the $5 million a year contract, it never was earned. It was almost as if you paid this guy to be a friend to Gar Forman, and he came in here, and it was, I get it. He wanted to run space and pace, and they had nobody that could do that. But you wound up with effectively a player revolt. You got D. Wade in here, and he aligned himself with Jimmy, and that whole nonsense, everything that went down.
We don't need to rehash the Fred Hoiberg era.
But I think we need to at least mention why I hear Fred and I go like,
you have a visceral reaction to it.
I do.
And I think part of it is because also when they hired him, they said they were going to embark on a national search when in fact there was no national search. There was the coach in waiting and there was the agreement that for the money that was more than probably he deserved at the time.
It was a national search through the contact list on Gar's phone.
Which is about, right.
All the seven names. Well, we can't hire his wife. No. No, that's a relative.
So you said he wasn't the worst Bulls coach ever, the worst Chicago coach ever. Who's on that list? Who's on your list? And let's go back over the last 30 years.
And I'll give you a couple of names for every team, if that works for you.
Okay.
Okay. So, by a mile, Terry Bevington is the worst coach.
He's kind of the unanimous choice for everybody.
He's
the standard.
He's the standard.
He's the standard by which everyone else can't measure
up
to.
And I threw Robin in there just because it's unfair. Here's the thing. I've got a lot of time for Robin because I really respected him as a player, and I felt he was the reluctant manager.
It's a tad bit
unfair.
He
was a guy that they forced to kind of take the job. I always felt that he felt obligated to take it, didn't really want it, and then he had it, and then he may as well keep it, and then they didn't want
to. You want to know my take on your take on Robin?
They didn't want to get rid of him.
My take on your take on Robin, you would have the same visceral reaction to Robin Ventura that you have to Fred Hoiberg if Robin Ventura weren't a White Sox player that you cheered for in the 90s.
That's fair enough. That is an accurate statement. But I just throw him in because I always felt that he never really wanted to do that job, and they made him do it for as long as they did because they were convinced, come back in 3 years, you're going to find a good manager, and, well, let's make it five. I don't know. I'll throw Robin in there. Okay. Vinny Del Negro has got to be second to me behind Tim Floyd. Vinny Del Negro, it was an awful era, and, you know, Pax had to choke him. I get all that. But
you have Tim Floyd, then Vinny?
Yeah, Tim Floyd. That
is Jim Boylan in between?
Tim Floyd. Which Jim Boylan, first of all?
This one.
No, I haven't seen enough of this Jim Boylan. I'm holding off. I don't count him in this group.
I agree with that.
I'm not even going to go after Fred because I thought that the Tim Floyd was kind of Fred-like. It was Jerry's buddy. Also Iowa State, and I didn't understand why he was hired, and I never understood why he was here when he was here, and then he went on to other jobs, but I wasn't a fan of Tim Floyd, and Vinny Del Negro, I think, was a failed experiment as well. So I'll go with those two. Bears-wise, I've never seen anything like the Mark Trestman era. Mark Trestman had a couple of good ideas, and I understood that he wanted to grow the man, and I understood that there was a certain element of him that he wanted guys to take their own responsibility, and he wanted them to look around the locker room, and he expected players to follow kind of the code that he had in his mind for them, when in reality, they just were like, oh my God, there's no discipline, I'm going to run off on my own. So the Trestman era, the farcical way that it ended.
But you're reacting more to, and I tend to agree with this, but the method rather than the results. But the results the first year were respectable.
But then once the Lovey effect of the defense
wore off. There was a lot of dysfunction that manifested.
They were allowing 50-something points a game 2 weeks
in a row. Well, they're bad defensively because they never quite figured it out.
And then the coach ratting out the quarterback and the apology. Yeah. That became French farce.
But I think it bothered you and other people the way he represented the Bears publicly.
There was a complete collapse in the discipline of a football team.
There's a disconnect,
which is a very important thing to have.
Okay,
and I'm gonna say the John Fox era after that. That John Fox era was terrible. It just, you brought in a guy.
No, we're not really gonna get much.
Well,
into that.
We shouldn't get into it. But that was a guy that came in here and he was a good football coach and had been at one point a good football coach, and for whatever reason, he just never was able to wrestle out. They did improve on defense.
14 victories, 3 seasons. That's not good enough.
The league was changing, and it was becoming more of an offensive-minded league, and there was just an utter and complete lack of creativity. So
he nudged the Bears closer to irrelevance than they had been in a long time.
And I think what we saw with the Matt Nagy effect was almost a polar opposite of what Fox was doing. So that is one of the reasons that Nagy seems to be so good. He's also been very good, and they've got better talent and all the rest of it.
I think Matt Nagy's popularity spiked because John Fox was so unpopular.
That's what I'm saying. And then as far as Cubs managers are concerned, I'm gonna say Mike Quadi just because of the nicknames.
Quads?
I didn't like the
Quads
nicknames.
Quads got the benefit of the doubt.
And Dale Swain was pretty awful.
Ryan Dempster endorsed Mike Quadi. He liked him.
That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, I just felt, and I'm not blaming these guys for their managing, but I just felt that I think that they hired Dale Swain thinking they were getting one thing and it never materialized. And I think with Quadi, he was sort of caught in between.
And I would say
a change of
neither Quadi nor Swaim are as bad as Jim Essien going back about 30 years.
But that's not modern to me.
Really?
I think you've gone back
91?
Too far. Yeah, I 91 think you pushed far? It. You okay. said, you said. What did you say?
Did I push it too far?
5 years?
Did I say 25 or 30? 30?
You said 30? You yeah. said 30 just to get Jim Essien in.
I did.
That's all that was. Okay. So I don't.
I'm very transparent.
I don't think that's fair to our listeners.
All right.
I don't think everyone would remember.
Right, well,
but that was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
And then I'll go with Alpo Sahonen because I don't have two guys with the Blackhawks. And I think the problem with the Blackhawks is a lot like the problem with the Bulls. That, you know, when you have Joel Quenneville, he stands alone as kind of the best coach in franchise history. You know, Phil Jackson is probably the best coach in Bulls franchise history. And we can talk about that and argue that a little bit, but not much. And I think because of the success. So I think that everybody pales in comparison to.
Alpo Suhonen was 29-41-12 in 2000-2001 season. Not very good.
I felt they were finished the minute he was hired. That's a finish joke.
Yeah, that's a finish joke.
I'm trying hard.
Yeah.
Here's a question just going in the other direction. You mentioned Phil, of course, Quenneville.
Sure.
Do you put Joe Madden in the same air? Does he have to win again?
Well, I think Joe Madden needs another one to do it again, but Joe Madden, definitely Ozzie. I think we've seen, you know, when I think of the White Sox, who's the best manager I've seen with the White Sox? It's Ozzie. He won a World Series.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I haven't
seen
it.
There's nobody better.
I'll go the same way with Joe Madden. I just haven't seen anybody win a World Series with the Cubs. I believe in many lifetimes.
They're Chicago sports legends.
Exactly.
Both of them.
And ditto Phil and ditto Joel.
Yeah.
So so I guess the question is, who's the Chicago sports legend with the Bears? It's Ditka, of course. But I don't know. Is that within? When did Ditka leave the Bears?
93.
93.
93 after
so
the 92 season.
We got your Jim Essien in.
Well,
I'm saying
back
greatest coaches. You know, Lovey was a really good coach with the Bears and had a lot of success and got to a Super Bowl. So I'm not dissing Lovey, but I think Ditka was the local legend guy with the restaurant and all the bit.
Well, he won a Super Bowl.
That's
when you
what I'm
win
saying.
A championship, you achieve a certain status that others who don't, you know, can never get to. But that's not a bad list if you're looking at the most overmatched Chicago coaches or managers of the last quarter century. Let's say that-ish.
Let's go 30 years so you can get Essien
in. Well, Jim Essien was only one season replaced Don Zimmer and didn't do it very well. And he's sort of the guy that when you talk about overmatched managers, he's definitely a name that comes to mind quickest. A couple of texters have checked in too. Tom Treblehorn.
You
think Tom Treblehorn?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
Do you have anyone to add? I
think you covered him pretty well. I don't think anybody outside of, hockey... The Hawks went through coaches pretty, you know...
Yes.
When you look at their list of guys, Dirk Graham was there, you know, and he had a bad short tenure.
I know, but he has a place in my heart because he scored shorties... when he was killing power play.
Lauren Mollican was there for a short period of time.
He was a captain for a while, Dirk Graham. I know.
So players who achieve popularity, you know, don't always make the best coaches, but they're not going to make you as upset as a guy who never played in your city. You detest Fred Hoiberg.
I don't detest him.
Okay.
He's a former Bull.
You have a reaction to – he is a former Bull. You have a reaction to Fred Hoiberg.
Bull?
I think he was.
Okay.
But you don't have that reaction to Robin Ventura because you remember him as a player. And that's understandable. But Hoiberg is, you know, I think that he's a good coach.
You love Fred Hoiberg.
He's a good college coach.
$5 million a year, David.
He's a good college coach.
312-644-6767. Who would you improve on our list of the worst of all? The worst of all time in Chicago.
Keeping it upbeat here.
Recent years. Recent vintage. 312-644-6767. It's Molly and Haw on the Score.
I was meaning to say, I'm getting confused now. I was meaning to say foul. I was saying fair. Lou was saying fair. We both were saying fair. So the umpires, I guess, said, well, okay. So they left it fair. That's what happened. I mean, instead of saying foul, I was saying fair. I meant to say foul, but I wasn't saying foul. Maybe I was thinking about Robbins when he thought it was foul and it was fair. And I was out there yelling to run. So it was like one of those, who's on first, what's on second situations there. You know, again, I'm thinking I'm saying foul, but I'm actually saying fair. And Lou's saying fair. It's like, well, zone. It's fair. 3 outs. So I was meaning to say foul. But I, you know what? I don't know if it's fair or foul, to be honest with you. We don't have an angle. But it just shows that, that honesty pays.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Okay.
That was the clarity of the Terry Bevington era. That's Terry Bevington back in 97, which technically is outside the 20-year period, but certainly within your 30-year
period. We'll allow it. For the purpose of the conversation, which began by mentioning that Fred Hoiberg is the object of Nebraska's desire for the next head basketball coach.
Well, that's not how it began. It began with you kind of like happy for Fred, and I had a sour face, and you were like,
I can't be happy for Fred.
Well, and you were like, why aren't you happy for Fred? And right. I was like, because Fred got paid a fortune and didn't get the job done here. And then we started talking about good coaches and bad coaches. So now we're trying to find the worst coaches. And it's just mean-spirited, but that's where we've somehow wound up.
Callers like the idea.
Yeah. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Jack is on the road. Hey, Jack.
Good morning, Jack.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show. Just wanted to – I had Terry Bevington down, but the other one on the north side was the famous Mike Quadi. I'll hang up and listen to your funny comments.
Mike Quadi created quite a stir by giving everybody nicknames. He could have been a hockey coach.
Yeah.
Because everybody was like, you know.
There are a lot of nicknames in baseball, and there's a lot of – there's more nicknames in hockey. But the nicknames in hockey are all – it's like the Australians have a lot of nicknames. So do you remember Jacko, the guy who used to sell the batteries? His last name was Jackson. So they just throw an O on the end of it. So he's Jacko.
Yeah, everything is with a Y in hockey, though.
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
right.
Well, you got Mully.
Kaner. Mully is a good example.
Mully is a good example.
Pulley. We haven't talked about Pulley yet.
Rhodesy. No. Rhodesy. That would be a hockey name.
Roder.
And Quadi.
Hawsey?
Something. I don't know.
You'd be Halsey. I'm bad in love. Okay, forget it.
But Quadi would turn every baseball nickname into a hockey nickname.
I can't really hit those notes, sadly.
No. That's all right. But yeah, Quadi gets a lot of abuse for a guy that managed 199 games, 95-104. His winning percentage wasn't terrible.
No, that's not bad at all. Let's try Mark. He's on the road. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark. Morning, Mark.
Did we lose Mark? Oh, no, we've lost
Mark.
Hey,
Mully.
Oh, there you are, buddy.
Hey, you just took mine. I was calling in for Pulley. He was Dad's best friend.
Wasn't Pulley more... he had many different roles, but wasn't he more just emblematic of the sort of quest for mediocrity that went on with the Blackhawks for a long time? Just make the playoffs. Who cares if you're any good? Just make the playoffs. You don't have to get better. You know what I mean? Like, Pulley is a decision maker, and I don't know. I don't think of him as just a seriously bad coach.
Like, there's no other better option. Let's just stick with Pulley.
Well,
yeah. He's going way back, too. Pulley, that's going way back.
Too far back.
Yeah. He did have some good seasons.
Let's try Mark. He's on the road. Hey,
morning, Mark.
Morning, guys. I'm keeping the hockey thing going. How about Alpo Suhonen?
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good one. We had him.
We mentioned him.
We had him top of the list.
Finnish flop.
He was, yes. He came from Finland, and it didn't translate.
Alpo Suhonen was, 29-41-11.
And his name was Alpo, so that was a hard
thing. Well, that's easy to remember.
But I'm saying...
He had a forgettable tenure, but a memorable name.
And I apologize for not knowing this, but is Alpo a common name? And is that like Mike in Finland?
Why would you apologize for not knowing that?
Well, because a lot of our multiculturalists will claim that I'm being xenophobic.
But I don't think that you necessarily have to apologize for not knowing that. It's a natural thing not to know. Is Alpo like Mike in Finland? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm just saying, is it a common name in Finland?
According to a Google search, it is not.
Okay, fair enough. Because it's a dog food here.
My golden retriever loves it.
Let's try Luke. Luke is on the road.
That's
good morning,
not true
Luke.
Either. Yeah. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mully and Hallie. Can't forget Bill Cartwright with the vocal cord issue.
Bill Cartwright had a vocal cord issue.
Who was it?
But...
Was it? Who was the? It was Kevin Matthews who used to do a Bill Cartwright impersonation. Like he would have Bill Cartwright as a stand-up comment. Was it Kevin that did that? That's also a long time ago, isn't it? And doesn't Bill get a pass as a former player?
He's like
player?
The Robin Ventura rule. You don't necessarily have the same rancor you do as a coach because he was a guy who meant so much to this town as a player. And as a coach, from 2001 through 2004, he was 51-100.
I covered Bill, and he was a super nice guy and a real kind of pros pro. It was funny because if you look at his numbers when he first came into the NBA, he was a scorer, believe it or not. I don't think people realize that. And then he transitioned his game into kind of this wily veteran dirty tricks guy where he was just sort of, you know, space eater, throwing elbows, doing a lot of tough things underneath.
And I think if he's on our list, it's not fair to his stint in Japan, where in 2013 for the Osaka Evessa, he was 15-6.
Is this a joke?
No, Bill Cartwright did have a coaching stint in Japan.
Oh my God, that is news to me.
Not realize that either.
Can you imagine what Bill would be like in Japan? They would think like the man from Mars had landed if Bill like just walked by people in Japan. Wouldn't he? Could you imagine if you are the guy who's tasked with shoving everyone in the subway and then you come upon Bill Cartwright? You'd have to fold him over and shove harder.
Huh? Stand on somebody's shoulders.
Don't they have people in Tokyo that shove you into the subway? Did I not read that somewhere?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's so many people, like
a human squeegee,
yes.
Like sardines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they just kind of push you in to make sure everyone gets in. What do you do when Bill's there? I would imagine you catch an elbow.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt.
John Paxson just checked in. His vote is Vinny Del Negro.
Yeah, that was not a good. That didn't work out. But Tim Floyd,
that was better.
Fisherman Floyd, you know, he at his introductory news conference. He said, you know, don't refer to me as Jerry's friend, even though they went fishing together, and that was the reason they hired
him. But Tim Floyd had no talent. Vinny Del Negro at least had Derrick Rose.
Do you mean no talent as a coach? Or
no talent to coach. Okay. No players.
I misunderstood.
Subway shovers in Japan are known as Oshia.
Oshia?
Yes.
Doesn't he play for Anaheim?
So you can get a job and you just push people?
You can't. Can you imagine?
That's a lot of people on those trains, Joe.
That's going to be my fallback position when this goes through. Going over to Japan and shoving people around.
Professional bully.
Can you imagine just shoving guys into it? Go on! There's room for one more! Everyone duck! I'll throw them over the top!
I haven't heard any of that. I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it, but what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
You know,
Stop.
There's no way around it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's the stuff like that
that
reinforced his just how miscast he was as
I had a
NFL
chance to
coach.
Meet with Jay 10 years ago in a hotel room in Raleigh, North Carolina.
But let's be fair here.
Yes.
First couple months here, we were like, how refreshing is that? Look at that.
He's an offense.
The guy has an offense and he's sincere with reporters. How about that? And then it wore off really quickly.
And I don't know how to say this without offending someone, but that the problem with Mark Trestman, the reason it didn't work, it was just the weirdo factor. He just was so weird. And he looked weird. He acted weird. He was not he's an outside the box thinker in a game in which you need a certain amount of kind of I think the word is discipline, but there's another word for it that I can't come up with.
He lacked presence. He didn't have command of the room.
He never could. He had interesting things to say, but he never was. It wasn't something that translates into football.
He had no clout or command.
Yes.
And nobody respected him.
Well, that was the problem.
Failed to connect.
Well, and the minute he allowed a little bit of leeway, guys were opening up restaurants and missing practice. And it just. You can't run a football team like that. It was just too different and too bizarre.
And we're talking about Mark Trestman because we've been talking about coaches who have not succeeded in Chicago. And the list of people or who comes to mind when we talk about miscast managers or bad coaches. And we started the discussion because Fred Hoiberg is...
Because you're obsessed with Fred Hoiberg.
I'm not obsessed with Fred Hoiberg.
You are kind of obsessed with Fred Hoiberg. You kind of think the Fred Hoiberg story You're a sucker for the mayor aspect of the Fred Hoiberg story.
Did I tell you about the time he put my finger on his pacemaker?
Yeah, you mentioned that once.
Yeah, once or twice.
Fred didn't wear a tie because he had this irregular heartbeat issue. And now Fred was an unbelievable athlete, obviously played in the NBA, was also like a high school football star.
He was recruited by Nebraska to play football.
Yeah. And so he had to have open heart surgery at one point and a pacemaker inserted because of this heart issue. And that's why he didn't wear a tie, because when he tightened the tie, he felt this kind of thudding more than normal in his throat and his chest. So if he looked overly casual to you, there was a method behind that madness. And David was working on a story, and Fred let you touch him and feel the beat of his heart. I don't mean it like
mocking it.
How am I mocking that? I'm describing a tender moment between you and the former
moment.
Head coach. But when you think of him and you think of the beating heart of the man, you have a different way of approaching
him.
I probably have a different way
of looking at him because of the story. I'm a sucker for those kind of stories. I like the human interest element to it. He was not a good coach for the Bulls. I've never tried to pretend that he was. I believe, though, at the college level, he can succeed. And if I were the Nebraska athletic director, I have little question why they would pursue him. I think he proved at Iowa State that at a program like that, you can do well.
See, I don't think he proved anything at Iowa State, because I had them in my bracket a couple of times and they lost. So as a guy that was gambling on the NCAA tournament, I didn't like Fred to begin with.
I forgot to factor in your myopia when determining whether or not Fred Hoiberg was a good college coach.
Yeah, that is definitely one Sweet 16 under Fred.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's not bad.
That's not good.
$5 million a year.
It's not like they hired Coach K. It's not like they went out and got Bill Self.
Okay.
Let's see what I did there.
Oh, a nice segue. Thank you. Bill Self, see, I've been trying to avoid this, talk around this, ignore this. Bill Self to the Bulls, that rumor is nonsense.
It was never sensible.
But every time that we repeat it, we give it credence that it doesn't deserve.
No, I'm not repeating it. There was a rumor that came up that he was going to be the Bill Self. Was going to try to get out of Kansas before the NCAA investigators got in there.
There you go.
Okay. Can we say that?
There you go.
And he was going to go back to Illinois. Oh, boy. Don't even bring that up. Bill Self was going to come to the state of Illinois to coach the Chicago Bulls, which, again, that's nonsense.
We have the audio. We do have the audio, I believe. It was a report from somebody who that said Bill Self is going to come to the Bulls.
Yeah. So there was this report that Bill Self was going to leave Kansas. Again, there's a lot of kind of NCAA investigators circling around the program. Let's hear what the report was.
I'll throw the biggest rumor mill that I found out today from a very reliable source that Bill Self will be leaving Kansas at the end of the year to become the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. Brandon Lang is pulling an Adam Schefter, breaking that story on every radio show right now. You heard it here first. Bill Self saying, thank you, Kansas. We won 14 straight Big 12 championships. It came to an end. It's time for me to move on and go coach the Chicago Bulls. You heard that first right here from Brandon Lang, March 14th, 2019.
So that is Brandon Lang, NBC Sports Radio, and Bill Self just admitted, no, that's not.
He responded to the Kansas City Star afterwards, said the Bulls thing is as far-fetched. I don't know where that came from. I've never talked to anybody about the Bulls, about any employment opportunities. They have a coach, and I'm not a candidate for that position and will not be. End of story. As the Pittsburgh Steelers fan says.
And you remember who Brandon Lang is.
There you go.
Right?
Thank you.
What was that?
Brandon Lang. You remember who he is.
He's the gambler who was the Matthew McConaughey's character in the Money,
that god-awful movie.
Yes, that was not a good movie.
It's awful.
But Al Pacino was in it, and Al Pacino is a member of the Scream Actors Guild. He tries to get out. They keep pulling him back in. Every movie. I'll take a flamethrower to the place. He is one of the great Scream Actor Guild members.
Okay. Good.
I should know. Okay. So there you go. That's the terrible idea that Bill Self would come to Chicago. And
yeah. It's a bad idea.
Bill himself.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Job's not open. And right. If the job were open, I don't think that I would go the college route again if I were the Bulls.
Oh, my God.
No
way. Can you imagine?
Way.
There
no
would
way.
Be, there would be so much self-abuse going on if they brought him in here.
Self-loathing.
Let's try Blake. He's on the Edens. Good morning, Blake.
Hey, Blake.
Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, talking about bad managers, I was thinking back to Dale Sveum with the Cubs. 2012, 2013, I think they won 127 total games or something. I know I didn't have much to work with, but that was pretty tough to watch.
Like, what did you expect from Dale Sveum? Because he was hired almost with that understanding they were going to struggle and struggle mightily.
You know, and I guess that's true, and he totally embraced the tank in that regard. I guess, I don't know. He just looked a little lost behind the bench, all things considered. I mean, 62, 63 games a year is pretty terrible.
It and is. Didn't he then go to Kansas City and
win a World Series as a hitting coach?
There you go.
I think of Dale Sveum always doing the pregame session with reporters, like with a bat. He's always like holding a bat and kind of as his crutch. Like I always wondered how he would sound without the bat. Did you need the bat
Did it intimidate you?
No, it didn't intimidate me. But
he was using it as a cane, literally as a crutch.
That's a crutch.
All right.
Literally.
Let's try Sam. Sam is on the road.
Hey,
good morning, Sam.
Hey. Seriously, I think Mark Trestman deserved a third year.
Oh boy.
He was one play away from going to the playoffs his first year, and all of a sudden, after a 5-11 season like every Bears coach has had, they got to get rid of him tomorrow. He's not that hard, that yell and screaming coach.
But Sam, that's not what it was. It deteriorated into this kind of French farce where, you know, the upstairs maid had, I mean, it was just,
it was a mutiny.
When you had the offensive coordinator go in front of the team to break down in tears as he attempted to apologize for throwing the quarterback under the bus while the quarterback made a sour face. It just turned into, again, this is when you lose, when you give up 50 something points to New England,
and
then you go to the Packers.
The Are you crazy?
Yes, I'm crazy.
Come on.
No, that was sickening, and it was one week after the other.
Win in those games.
And you know what? He was fired after the second time that happened, whether they had no chance or not. They weren't even competitive, and when they went up to Green Bay and got spanked like that, I'm telling you, that was the end of him.
Sammy lost the team. That was simple.
He lost the team. The discipline of the team
midway through that second year, if not sooner.
And part of it too was the circus around him with Aaron Cromer.
He allowed that to happen. You coach your coaches.
It was under his watch.
Right. Yeah, you have no discipline with your players. You have no control of your coaches.
Call in today and defend Mark Trestman.
It didn't feel like they could get out of that season in one piece. You know what I mean? This is a proud franchise. Been around since the inception of the league, and it felt like they were going to have to disband. That's how bad it got by the end
of
that year.
Al's
they
all.
Were just going to have to
family
well,
business.
Maybe we can bring the Raiders to Chicago because the Bears aren't going to play anymore. That's how bad it got. It was just
hi. I'm Mark Trestman.
That was his introduction as the what is it
the Tampa XFL?
What's the name of the team? It's like
they don't have team names yet.
Oh, they don't.
No.
Oh, I thought
they're
there was
working
a name.
On it.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Hey, and you mocking me for the Fred Hoiberg heart pacemaker story?
How was I possibly mocking you?
Peoria Matt checks in with a great text. Wait until Gar shows David his gallbladder scar. I'll look at it in a whole different way.
If you ran a finger across that scar, Mr. David, he would have you in the palm of his hand.
I'm one major surgery from believing in every coach in town. Just give me a life-threatening illness and I'm yours.
We veered off the road when we started having a caller defending Mark Trestman.
All right.
I didn't know that was defensible, frankly. Because they didn't play any defense under that guy. And Mr.
Hi, I'm Mark Trestman, new head coach of the Tampa Bay franchise of the XFL.
He was like 4 inches
I'm excited to be here in Tampa, and we're ready to get started.
That was the thing. As he talked there, he was a little too close to the camera. It was just like 3D House of Trestman. It's a little too much. Wait until you see Gar's gallbladder scar.
Let's get back to the tournament.
All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.